makes the world go round. And you know we can't take it to the grave. Say, gotta have some self-control. All right, we are off the air and on the record.
Man, you know what's weird? Carrying a piece of paper that is represents six digits in a backpack and thinking, better not lose that piece of paper or that's a lot of money that just vanishes.
Yeah. The deed?
No. The down payment. Because I had to get a cashier's check. And like the very concept of a cashier's check is just...
That's nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
Well, in 7 minutes, I'm going to have to talk to somebody about similar things. But I wanted to suggest for post-Deadwood, we do a comedy.
Oh, well, I thought we'd discuss this. I am strongly in favor of Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency since it got canceled. And the only thing I know is that Bonnie, very inappropriately, lost in the moment, started cackling on a flight to Australia watching the show. And I hear good things about it all around. It seems like one of those.
So do we want to just do it? Or do we want to do another tournament at some point? Nah, or we could just do Dirk Gently next and then do a tournament after that.
That's what I'm feeling.
At some point we definitely said we were going to do Dirk Gently.
Plus also Dirk Gently, I mean, we can get Max Landis to join us for an episode and as we get all the way into it and wrap our minds around it and you know.
Where can you watch it now? There's also multiple Dirk Gently.
Stars? I thought it was a Stars thing. No, it was a BBC America, right?
And aren't there multiple Dirk Gently series?
Yes, there are.
This is great.
This is the one with Elijah Wood, written by Max Landis.
There's a 2012 one and a 2016 one.
What? Wait.
2016 one is the one with Elijah Wood, and it has two seasons.
Specifically, Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency. Oh, on Hulu. Okay. Interesting. It's only 18 episodes, too. So.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Oh, it's Netflix internationally. Got it.
Okay. And Hulu domestically.
Yeah. Well, I think they consider BBC domestic for that, but. Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah. There was a 2012 with, who is that? Stephen
Manverse.
Stephen Man.
Stephen Universe.
Stephen Mangan.
Are you watching Stephen Universe?
Nope. But I am somehow seeing all of the spoilers for it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, my kids are making sure to do that. And it sounds to me like they've developed a fairly robust specific universe in there.
A Steven universe. Yeah, no, it does seem like they've been setting up stuff and those things are paying off now, which is cool. I never really got into it. It seems cute, but someone tried to show it to me once. I was like, that's fine.
Yeah.
But I don't see...
You're like, I'm more of a Teen Titans Go fan.
Oh, I like the original Teen Titans. I haven't seen... But like the little bits that I've seen of Steven Universe, I don't see the long overarching thing that people are enamored with.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, this is just a fine little cute show.
Right.
And so I don't know about who is who and this person's blue and this one's a human. And that's my old.
You know, the other show that I just ran across today that is critically acclaimed, highly rated, that I've never even heard about is Rectify.
It sounds like another Justified.
Only with proctologists. Well, okay. They're like,
it's Rectified.
Oh, what a terrible word Rectify is.
It's on Netflix.
30 episodes? That's not too bad. About a man who is released from prison after 20 years on death row following a wrongful conviction.
So did you see Red Letter Media did a video from somebody called Scientist Man? And it was definitely the main guy from Red Letter Media. And he was like, I was hired by Disney to fix the Disney movies. And he's this, and it basically the thesis as they lay out in this 5-minute comedy sketch is Scientist Man does an analysis and figures out that 60% of the viewing audience of every Star Wars movie are completely immune to like no matter how much, where, when, or whatever, they're going to see it. And then, you know, there's this many casual viewers, and there's 5% normal people, and then like 2% whatever. And he was saying, like, you know, in the hubbub over Solo, the question was like, oh, how are they going to find their footing and make Star Wars appeal to a larger audience? And Scientist Man, the character, gave the counterintuitive postulate that don't just charge $150 for the Boba Fett movie and call it a limited fan experience and only allow very few people to see it. And they'll, and everything about it, because he points out about the phenomenon about Star Wars Celebration and about all the releases or whatever. It's like, this is the same group of people that are going to everything. They clearly have a price tolerance for a much higher price for a Star Wars peripherally. It's not even, you know, you don't get anything from the Star Wars universe. You get stuff around the Star Wars universe that they're spending, you know, thousands of dollars to go for a weekend at a time. He's like, lean into that and only let 100,000 people see a movie, but make sure they all pay $150 a piece to do so. Which I thought, I don't know. It made so much sense that I couldn't tell if maybe underneath all the comedy, he was 100% serious. And then I thought, maybe that's the most brilliant idea I've seen.
I don't know.
Same $300 million you were going to put into the Boba Fett movie, still spend it in largely the same way, spend none of the advertising budget, and charge 10 times as much. I think that would work.
I don't know. That's, I don't know. Tom, do you have as a Star Wars person?
What's the question again? I'm sorry.
As the host of Pretend I've Never Seen Star Wars.
Pretend I'm dumb about Star Wars, please.
We're talking about Star Wars.
Pretend I'm dumb about your question.
Would you pay $150 to see a Boba Fett movie?
If you knew that there was no other way to do so.
$150 lets me walk into a theater and see a Boba Fett movie that I otherwise could not see at all.
And you were flatly told that this will never be released, that the only people in the theater with you are other fans, and that the vast majority of everybody you meet for the rest of your life will have never seen this. In other words,
don't trust that something can be kept that quiet these days. So that's not a very compelling argument. Like, you'll never be able to see it. I'm like, yeah, it will.
Yeah.
It'll get out somehow. So I'm skeptical that that can be true. So I'm going to go pay my money based on the fact that I want to see it. I want to see it right now. I don't want to wait for it to eventually sneak out whenever that is.
But you would
spend
$150.
I don't
know.
$150 is pretty steep. It would be impulsive of me to do that.
So what if they instead
but I'd want to.
Said it will be released 5 years from now? It will hit general circulation 5 years from now or whatever.
I mean, again, that doesn't enter into my equation. My equation is, can I afford to just drop $150 to see a movie? I will want to do it. It'll be a matter of whether I can talk myself out of it as a bad way to spend money.
And
does that make sense?
Yeah.
Purpose
like
of
the
this
Star Wars fan in me will be like, yeah, man, I absolutely want to see it. I want to see it on day one. Like, I have seen The Force Awakens, Last Jedi, all these movies, even Rogue One and Solo, on opening day.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's a better question.
I feel like I've missed the reasoning.
Actually, I didn't see Solo opening day because I was in Australia. Never mind.
There was rumors that...
Oh, I got to go.
Okay, bye, Tom.
Bye, Tom.
There was rumors that somebody had done a re-edit of the prequels as a single movie, all three prequels, and
okay. They
did like a private screening in Hollywood. It was somebody fairly popular. I want to say like an Elijah Wood or something, but I'm only thinking of him because we were talking about Dirk Gently.
Sure.
Topher Grace. I think it was Topher Grace.
From that 70s show?
Yeah. Okay. I think he re-edited all three prequels to one movie, and it was like, also for obvious reasons, you'll never get to see this, but if he did quote unquote limited fan engagements where he's like, hey, I'm going to show up and I'm going to describe for you what I was thinking on everything. You're going to watch my 2.5 hour cut of the prequels. And then there'll be a Q&A afterward. I feel like a lot of people would pay $150 for that.
But what's the purpose of making it so expensive? Like,
And, to don't make know it how profitable. The problem scientist man, air quotes, scientist man was solving.
Pitch. This is a great man who's co-signing your theory.
Or
whose theory you're co-signing.
Mike.
A man in a comedy sketch.
No. Okay. Mike from Red Letter Media. What he was proposing was, like, the problem as it's perceived is after marketing and expenses or whatever, Solo was not a moneymaker. Like, it ended up being like it's gonna make whatever money it's gonna make in the vast wasteland of VOD or whatever. And if you're a shareholder, then that's a problem. And you say, well, I want to do fewer things like these. Mm-hmm. I do think there's merit to his suggestion that if you make it a limited fan experience and you charge 10 times as much, that it would be a profitable one. Whether or not it would be artistically well received kind of becomes irrelevant because it becomes niche. It's not for everyone. It's for, like, riddled with fan service because only the fans are going to see it. And if you're not a fan, then go get bent. I mean, certainly, you know, as the co-host of Night Attack, I can understand the appeal of that, you know, of that tack.
Okay. I feel like that seems weird to make a lot of noise, to basically take, you know, one of the, you know, Star Wars coupons in a year and say, hey, we're going to go more insular instead of more wide.
I think that might be the right call, though, because
as someone who is, like, putting his feet into the Star Wars waters, that has no appeal to me. And
what exactly? They're cutting you out of the equation instead of watering it down for the fans.
Well, that sucks. No, because all of this BS about Star Wars fans and remaking The Last Jedi, it's like, I like The Last Jedi, and all of this hullabaloo of, well, I didn't like it, it's bad, we're like I don't want to be a part of that. You're going to turn people off of Star Wars by going more insular.
But that's just
it. I don't think that's what Disney or Lucas would want to do, is make it more insular instead of, you know, reaching out to a new and younger fan base.
Yeah, that's the problem. Okay.
Because all of those fans are going to die off. You're talking about people who, like, are attached to a 30-year-old movie, and that audience will only shrink if you keep making it insular.
Well,
I mean, I like the idea of doing a big event, but making a movie that event seems... tough.
Well, big event, I think what you're thinking is that they're advertising it to the masses. They would not do that.
$150 price tag is out there enough to be what I would call a big event.
Yeah. It's going to be a really great evening out. It's going to be a 4-hour experience that you and
it's
your loved ones.
4 hours? So then maybe
Well, I don't know. It's a made up thing anyway. I mean, so here.
Because we were just talking about a Boba Fett movie a minute ago.
Well, because that's a real thing that is already on the books and is happening. They're already making it, right? Mm-hmm. And so what they're saying, his thesis was, don't even release it as a mass market movie. Instead, if the only people who are going to like it are the hardcore fans anyway, then just lean all the way into that, because those hardcore fans are going to show up and they'll do so for $10 or for 10x the ticket price. And if that's the case, then just make it really worth it. Give them the Boba Fett t-shirt and the Boba Fett limited this and that, and make it a fan experience. And, you know, I don't know, Night Attack, as we go on tour, we're figuring out, you know, just how, you know, far and wide our fan base is spread. And I don't know that us making Night Attack more palatable to the masses would be the right call. And in fact, I kind of like the fact that we're leaning into our nicheness and owning it and running wild with it. So it makes me wonder if a mega brand like Star Wars, you know, might possibly be able to find a more profitable middle ground by doing a similar thing. But the risk, of course, is that it's taking something away from the rest of the world.
Yeah. And it's also by, like, trying to, you know, over monetize on a smaller audience, you're giving that audience, which is already incredibly reactionary, a lot of leverage. Suddenly, if you get enough angry people on Twitter to say, well, you already need, you know, so many of us to go see your thing, and you need to go change these other movies to make us happy. It's like, I don't want to give those people more power.
I think you're actually convincing me this is a great idea, because if you lean in, those exact same people who are paying $150 are the people who are the loudest negative voices on Twitter. And now they're all like, man, it's really cozy on the inside. It's pretty great over here. Saw an awesome movie. Have a bunch
they're
of
already
new
like
in
that
jokes.
With the original trilogy. Like they already looked down on 2/3 of the entire film franchise.
Yeah, but at least they'll be looking down from a point of insideness instead of outsideness. Like the negative comments that a lot is when people feel marginalized, like, well, I feel outside of the Star Wars experience now because this felt a little too multicultural for my tastes or whatever. And then instead bring them to the inside, have them pay. I guess I'm thinking
inside of what though? What is inside?
Man, I don't know. Like people spend what, $200 to go to Dragon Con. They feel pretty great about it. Why not? And Dragon Con, you have what? 50,000, 60,000 people spending $200 a pop. So that becomes, $12 million, right? Or whatever. So all you have to do is hit something similar price strategy, and everybody walks away from Dragon Con feeling like they had a great time and a special experience, right? So as long as whatever it is you offer with Boba Fett, the fan movie experience, leaves everybody feeling like that was truly special and I felt spoken to and I felt heard in a Star Wars way that had not happened in a long time, which are fairly cheap to do between, you know, custom events, appearances or whatever and all that stuff. And then you're only playing to your base. You're only mining your own core and nobody on the outside. Like, even if they have a negative opinion that they weren't invited or that they it's too expensive or they didn't go, it's like, yeah, so what? You didn't go. It's not for you. That's fine.
Okay. I still don't entirely get the point, I think.
Well, the point like, the point is that there's a real problem with the marketing budgets, that they're 40 to 50% of the entire ads, the entire spend on a particular movie, right? Mm-hmm. Solo did not quote-unquote lose money because of the production budget. It lost money because of the amount of advertising and reshoots and remarketing and retargeting and the bad publicity of the loss of the directors, because all of that, all of those things that caused it to lose money were done in service of casting a very, very wide net. And so the proposal...
Or maybe they were trying to fix and sell a bad movie. I think if the idea is like trying to make movies leaner by making them more expensive, I guess that's a hypothesis. But I think to solely attribute that to the reason why Solo is a bad idea for, you know, these Star Wars universe stories,
That's a mischaracterization of what I was trying to say.
I'm trying to get to what you're getting at here, because I still don't understand it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, okay. So there's some number. There definitely exists some number of people who will pay literally any price and will defend literally any Star Wars movie. Like it's Star Wars is imprinted upon them because they happen to be this particular demographic. Right. This is known Khaleesi. Once you know it, and the proposal is, well, stop trying to make Star Wars appeal to everybody and instead make it a very small clubhouse for very specific target demographics. And you no longer spend money on advertising. Everybody who participates feels like they're more exclusive and having a better time than before. And you become profitable in a way that Solo was not, because they spent so much time, energy, and effort and money to try to appeal to the masses. So I guess what I'm saying is I think there might be wisdom in the idea of give up on the masses and just own your niche, because they already own that niche and all of the financial distress they're feeling is by trying to play outside of their niche. And what he's saying is do the reverse. Just go all the way in your niche, charge 10 times as much, and you'll make a lot more money instead of zero money, because anything is a lot more than zero.
Let's do the counterfactual.
Convince me of the downside of this thought.
Well, I don't think that's very fair in terms of the way that this conversation is structured, actually.
That was a rhetorical trick. Yeah, you're welcome.
What? I also don't love the structure of this conversation.
Okay, all right, go ahead.
I guess that's an idea. I think that if you have a franchise where everyone has been clamoring over it and saying, you know, this is the greatest sci-fi series, the greatest action series, like, this is such a huge... worthy property to say, okay, we're no longer making the best thing in the world for everybody, which is what the movie industry
tries
to do
on every project. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know that you make theme parks on movies that you only show to 200,000 people.
That's a really good point.
I don't think that you sell merchandise to young kids who have to pay $150 to
that's,
go see.
Okay, that is a proper counter argument because Mr. Dress Pants Boardman says, but Brian, it doesn't matter that Solo lost movie money because the entire thing is just an advertisement for our theme parks. And I actually think there's wisdom to that. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
The
movies are
thinking about the overall ecosystem. Like there is advertising value in being, even if it's the bad thing that the whole world watched and all they do is talk about how bad that thing was that all of them watched.
Then you have the whole world.
They still involved. All watched it and they still right. have the world. Yeah. All because, right. That's a good point.
I think you can do a big ticket thing like that occasionally, but I think if that's the going forward, then you're just going to keep siloing it off more and more, and then it's like, oh well, you know, street level Star Wars is the best Star Wars, so that's all I'm going to proselytize. Oh well, space air fight Star Wars, so that's the only one. And then you get the community to polarize themselves even more.
So they
all will shrink in on themselves because they're becoming more insular and you're relying on
the question is, do you give your own fan base cancer by doing that, by causing them to all fight each other instead of being unified on there? That's an interesting question because on the flip side, I do think that there's a place to siloize, not cannibalize, not turn brother against brother or whatever, but sort of, you know, oh, you're this kind of person. You probably will like this flavor of Star Wars.
And I don't think Star Wars has grown enough to be like, I think you could probably do that with Marvel now because that engine is so smooth and it is coming in so
like,
avenues.
I identify with the mutant branch. I identify with the altered human story.
But I think Star Wars is still trying to ramp up that engine or figure out the right speed and to make a franchise that is like, okay, we're going to like really, try a lot of things and
can we make a command decision behind Tom's back now that he's gone? Can we solicit a bit of response? Like mail just for after talk where it's like, I would kind of love to know what other people on the outside, because I think you had a really, really good point, but I also feel like I had a good point. I don't know.
Sure. You know what you can do? Patreon.com/cordkillers in the comments there is a great place to put.
Oh, that's right. Because only the patrons, they're all in there.
Or I guess, you know, if you just put after talk in the subject line of cordkillers@gmail.com, cordkillers@gmail.com.
Cordkillers@gmail.com.
Yeah. I keep thinking it's cordkillers show and that's not right. Yeah. Cordkillers@gmail.com. Put after talk in there. Yeah, we'll see. Like that's a good idea. Like I think there's a middle place between doing it and never doing it.
Well, and what I'm imagining is like let's say currently, you know, they've got a slate of 3 movies per year for the next billion years or whatever. Take one of those movies and just
3
take
movies
it
a year?
Off
that's faster than Marvel.
Actually, I guess it's 2 movies a year. But
Marvel's doing 2. Is Star Wars 2? I thought Star Wars
Solo came out 5 months after the Last Jedi.
Yeah, but Last Jedi got pushed back.
Okay, so
because they were going to do TikTok every
whatever
year.
My point is you got enough that you can, as an experiment, just take one out and say, you know what, this one's too precious to give to the whole world. We're only going to give it to you guys, our base. And it'll be a special event. There'll be all these things that we do that make it special. I think that would be a noble experiment for sure.
I think so too. But I think it would need to be in no sooner than 5 years from now, just so that they can get like making a mainline staple show.
Right now, they're definitely casting about trying to figure out like what's our base.
Yeah, and like settling in on who they're trying to appeal to. Because I've been a fan of things and seen things change and thought, okay, I'm kind of done with that.
Yep.
And feeling like, okay, I have to like expunge parts of this out from me. I can't follow the Reddit anymore because I just don't like the thing. I get it. And that's tough. But also I see where the decision to like, okay, well, let's try to open this up and make things different or share older stories or whatever. Like I think that there's a lot of value for Disney to see there in opening up Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's certainly an interesting idea. I wonder how you logistically do such a expensive thing. Like, especially with the idea of like you get merch and stuff. Like, are the movie theaters doing that? Does Disney have to like run those individually?
I think what you do is you identify the top 10 cons that already exist. You say, you have somebody do an analysis and they say Dragon Con, San Diego Comic Con, this one, that one, the other one. And it's like, these are this many bodies in this many places at this many times. We've run the analysis. There's virtually no crossover. People either go to San Diego Comic Con or they go to Dragon Con. And then from that, you come up with a propose like there are 600,000 true hardcore fans that we can reach. Let's reach out to each of these individual places. Let's set up our own fan track. Let's sell them all 3 days. And the culmination of that is that they will be the only ones who get to see this movie at the end of it, because they're already there. They're there for the experience or whatever. But along the way, they imagine, think about this too, a way to prime the base. The only people watching the movies are the people who met all of the actors, who listened to the directing workshops from the director leading up to it, right? So they've had personal interactions with them. Basically, the show goes on tour. Then, so they go into it primed, knowing the whole backstory about what it took to make X, Y, blah, 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 blah. Of course they're going to love it. They're going to love it because that's what they've been guided for the past 3 days to do. And as a result, it makes the experience kind of like above reproach when it comes from criticism or, you know, the other critics.
Then I would say like, that sounds great. That also doesn't sound like $150 if we're talking about profitable. That sounds like $1,000. Like a 3-day workshop and then you see the movie at the end is going to be very expensive to make.
If the
goal is to like be profitable on a smaller amount of people, depending on how much we're adding on to the movie experience, that's $150 is way low.
Well, they're already there for the whatever. Mm-hmm. You're just at you make a phone call, say add a track called the Boba Fett track, charge $100 for an upsell if they want to do that track. Or $150 an upsell if they want to do that track. We will provide 4 hours of content and one-on-one with a bunch of the actors or whatever. If you're reaching 500,000 people, let's call it $100. If you're reaching 500,000, that's what?
But then you're paying for all the actors' time for 3 days, the director's time.
But a lot of them are doing that anyway. They would just be doing that
one-on-one?
One on 500, right? Schedule it appropriately. Like do the Q&A panels with the actors so that they only have to do it once. It's the same, you know, all the actors, this is the same thing they always do. Only here's the other thing you do is you cut the actors in, is you say, you now get a percentage of all of this, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then when this clip goes viral, because you said the right thing that made the fans go nuts in the right way, you know, you participate in all those revenues or whatever. I don't know. I think there's crazy options that involve that involve letting go of the idea that Star Wars has to appeal to everyone, and instead maybe making it appeal only to that hardcore audience.
I think that's the thing that is really not passing my initial sniff test is the words. Let's make Star Wars not appeal to everyone. And instead make it appeal to the people who don't like it today.
Sure. And maybe there's a better way for me to phrase that. Let me work on the pitch. Okay. First, let me work on the pitch. Then let me work on the advertising for the pitch. And then, but I'm with you. I'm with you. I didn't do the best job of selling it.
Yeah. And if you guys have thoughts, put it in the comments in the Patreon. I try to check that every so often. Or email quirkillers@gmail.com.
Yeah, man. And let us know if you enjoy the after talk. This is fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we get a lot of good comments already and stuff on it. So thanks, everybody.
Bye.